in these last few days, just waiting for the NFL draft, I just keep having to tell myself, Goose Fraba, Goose Fraba.
It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and back in the house is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, you feeling better, my friend?
Yeah, appreciate you guys taking care of the pod. Listen back to it. You and Cody did a great job. I was not feeling good at all. I had a very bad migraine. Started to get nauseous, so appreciate you guys handling that. But I'm glad to be back talking some more tight ends from the upcoming... Dude, the draft starts in, what, like 10 days?
Ooh, it's something getting like closer and closer, man!
Yeah, so I'm pumped, man.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I mean, look. All these takes out on social media right now, everything is crazy. People are running out of stuff to talk about. So I want the NFL draft here tomorrow, man. I am ready for it. So ready.
I've been ready for like a month or so now. And then you open up like Twitter and you see the same old stuff. Oh. And it's like, okay, like, can we just have the draft start and all the speculation, everything can be put to rest? Like, I'm ready.
I'm ready for it, man. My body is ready, dude. And speaking of being ready, man, like, we're going to talk about another prospect today. Going to dice up Pat Freiermuth, tight end out of Penn State, and discuss him, his prospect profile, and kind of where we see him landing. Before we get that kicked off, man, looking at all these rookie ADPs, you got to be heading to Underdog right now. Get into this best ball action right now. You can head over to the War Room, get in on that tournament action before the NFL draft. Use the promo code FTN. If you do not like it, they will honor a money-back guarantee up to $100 within the first month. What you want to do NFL, you want to do MLB. Hell, they even have pick'ems, man, over-unders. So head over there, use the promo code, get drafting, get signed up today. All right, man, let's dive into Pat Freiermuth. 6'5", 251, looking at his production profile right now. First 2 years, I mean, he doesn't jump off the page massively. 368 yards receiving, then 507. This last year is going to, people are not going to put as much stock into it, at least just staring at the page, man. 310 yards receiving. But he only played 4 games, Adam, before going out with a shoulder injury that required surgery. Had a 10.8% target share in his first year at Penn State that bumped up to 17% and then 12% in this last year. I mean, look, he checks a lot of different boxes, man. 69th percentile in yards per reception at 14.2. Breakout age is at 19.9, which is 82nd percentile. Discussing all of those, as well as good college dominator in the 84th percentile range. What stands out to you about Pat Freiermuth's production?
Yeah, I think we have to obviously look at last year with a bit of a grain of salt, but like he was a huge part of their offense in the 4 games that he did play. 37 targets in those 4 games, I believe it was. Been a relatively, you know, huge play guy throughout his career at Penn State. I think he's a really interesting player in this class because this is the first podcast I've done breaking down a tight end other than Kyle Pitts. Like we talked about it. Kyle Pitts was one of the first episodes we did. And then obviously there's a drop off, but this is a really good tight end class. And Pat Freiermuth is one of the huge reasons why. Like he made plays deep down the field. His average at the target was solid. He breaks tackles. He was good after the catch in terms of those metrics. So the stats, like, they're not Kyle Pitts, you know, otherworldly stats, but they're very good stats, especially we know tight ends for the most part in college football are not huge parts of their offenses, you know, outside of the really, really good ones. And Pat Freiermuth, you know, every season at Penn State got more and more involved in the offense.
He really did. And you saw his usage really change. Now, he's a guy that entered Penn State as a 4-star prospect but per 24/7 Sports. And if you're looking at just like what he did year over year, I mean, if the train would have stopped in 2019, I wouldn't be as excited for him because you saw in 2020, the usage changed, the numbers jumped off the page. In 2018, 44th in yards per route run amongst all tight ends with 25 or more targets. Now in 2019, still 29th out of 89 tight ends. It wasn't until 2020, and you saw the usage change, Adam. Like, in the previous two seasons, he was in line about 60% of the time. In 2020, they moved him to the slot, man. You saw his slot rate jump up a ton from 37% to 51%, and the yards per route run jumped as well, man. He was 10th amongst all tight ends for 58 tight ends with 25 or more targets. So, looking at him, and I think that we need to talk about Pat Freiermuth as a receiving option, and we'll kind of get into the other strengths of his game, but I think first and foremost, he is a receiver. Looking at what he did in 2020 showed us that, and showed us kind of like, even looking at him as a prospect, him even as a receiver, there's still more to unlock to at his game than what we've even seen at the collegiate level. Like, I still think that he's barely scratching the surface on what he can be as a receiver.
Yeah, and I noticed that too, watching him. Like, you look at his 2020 film and you see a lot of snaps from him in the slot, which is something you like to see, especially if when you say he wasn't playing a lot in the slot his first 2 years at Penn State. So that's definitely something you like to see, and that tends to lead to just better one-on-one matchups. And you mentioned that the yards per out run went up. I mean, we can kind of just tie this in with his strengths. Like, I thought for a guy, 6'5", 250, at the tight end position, I thought he had really quick and really solid feet on a lot of his routes. Like, he's not going, like, these are obviously, you know, this isn't Travis Kelce in terms of route running at tight end, and he's not, like, there's been, you know, he's baby, every tight end that's big and can catch and strong is gets a baby Gronk label, but, like, I'm
can
not
we stop?
That.
Can we
I'm
bury that? Like, can we just bury that label? Can we just never talk about another tight end being Gronk? Like, there's only one Gronk, and that's Gronk. Like, there's, like, Pat Freiermuth is as good as he is.
Gronks, technically.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. We're not talking about the whole Gronk family tree.
I'm just saying.
That's really fair, man. But, I mean, my whole thing is that, like, stop calling people Gronk. He's not.
No, he's not. And that's fine. Like, he's still a really good player. But, yeah, like, for strengths, I really like this footwork on a lot of his routes. And then, obviously, like, he has, like, really creative routes, too. Like, he can... He's a guy, and we saw it when he played in the slot. Like, he can separate in coverage. And when he gets the ball in his hands, you know, can break tackles, really strong stiff arm. I liked what I saw from him. Like, as a pure receiver, he's good. But then, like, when he gets the ball in his hands, he's also really good. So I like that. I like that he was, in the four games he played, you know, a huge producer. And when Penn State really focused on him as the focal point of their offense, and he can be, like, a really good blocker at the next level. And I know we don't love that for fantasy, but, hey, tight ends are going to block a lot. It's just going to happen. I mean, they're not going to run around in every play. But that's just one of the traits that's going to have him probably go in the second round, and draft capital is important for us in terms of dynasty and stuff like that. So I love the ability in both aspects of the game from him as – a run blocker and as a pass catcher, and we saw a lot of consistencies in both over his last couple years at Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're talking about him being a good blocker, and I think that with that, and you saw multiple times Penn State used him as a pulling blocker, like they used him as a lead blocker on a lot of run plays, and I think it's important to bring all that up because that's how you stay out on the field. That's how you garner the routes per dropback, is by not leaving the field too. You know, so, I mean, you and I talk about that. We care about you running routes, okay? But I care about you being on the field, and if you're going to be on the field, you're going to be running routes. Like, also, like, that's part of it. So, I mean, I like that part of his game. I feel like he was a much better run blocker than a pass protector. The other thing that stood out to me when I watched him, and yes, I think that his route running was a little bit crisper than like when Cody and I talked about Hunter Long, comparing the two, because I put them in the same tier. I think Freiermuth's routes were a little bit better. I felt like his separation was a little bit better in short areas than Hunter Long's. The other thing that I think that is difference between the two is that I had some questions about Hunter Long as far as his strength at the catch point on the previous episode. And with Pat Freiermuth, I don't have that question, man. He was extremely strong at the catch point. Like, aggressive, came down with the ball, and only playing four games last year, man. He was tied for eighth in contested catches. Like, that says something, man. And I think that his translation, like, as an underneath weapon in the NFL is going to be easy, because I think that his strength at the catch point, as well as a red zone weapon, man, like 37% of his touchdowns came within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage during his collegiate career. So I think that the areas that we're looking at a tight end succeeding, and for us in fantasy, is, can you be a dependable weapon for a quarterback underneath? Yes. Can you be a weapon in the red zone? And the lifeblood of tight ends is touchdowns. Like, yes, like, it's going to be hard for a lot of tight ends to walk into massive volume roles, but can you score touchdowns, and are you going to be able to come up with those tough catches over the middle underneath for a quarterback? And then if you do so, is he going to go back to you? Freiermuth checks all those boxes for me, man. That's, I mean, did you see anything different on film when you watched him?
I thought I don't even like mentioning drops, because like every single player drops passes. It happens. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm just done saying, oh, this player, unless it's like an ongoing trend, right? Of passes that should be caught all the time. It's different. But like, yeah, I watched some film and some games where he should have caught some passes. That'll happen to every player. But I did see him, with the ability to go up and get balls at the catch point, which you'd love to see, obviously. Then there's the narrative, man. He played basketball. We got to talk about this. An NFL tight end used to play basketball. So that should be at the forefront of our analysis. And I'm sure whoever drafts him in the NFL draft will. That'll
it's
be
gonna
at
get
the top
brought
of the scouting report. Like,
good Lord. It's
going
to get
guys,
brought up.
Play basketball. So we're going to start up here and work our way down to the rest of the attributes.
It's going to get brought up so many different times.
I don't think I'd be able to be a play-by-play commentator, you know, like a Jim Nance or a Tony Romo or anything like that. But I get so annoyed and over the teams inside the 5-yard line, and they circle with their little pen, the tight end on the team. Watch for the tight end here. He used to play basketball. Like, and it's like, okay, that's one thing, but it's like you're circling Darren Waller, who's clearly the best player on the team. Like, watch for the best player on the team here. They might throw to him. Like, come on, like can we not do that anymore? Like,
please, man. I mean, come on. Like, how many times would you hear it?
The Chiefs love to go to Travis Kelce down here because he's the best tight end in the NFL. Why wouldn't you?
It's the running joke, man. It's
Packers
like,
are inside the 10-yard line, circles Davante Adams. Got to watch out for Davante Adams here. They love throwing to him here. They love throwing him everywhere. It's the best player on the field.
Use your best players. Use your players with size in the red zone. It's crazy, Adam. I know. We really got to get that out to the masses constantly. It's insane, man. And it's so funny that like it's the same tired narratives over and over. And it's funny that you bring up what he did in high school. But also, you see, he also was an all-state linebacker in high school as well. And you see that mean streak, that toughness show up on film. Like, he's a guy that's not going to be bullied, like, as far as at the catch point or in blocking, man. And I think that, like, we talked about this again. Cody and I talked about this for Hunter Long. You go back and listen to that episode. You see a lot of these tight ends and the ones that we see kind of translate and stuff. Not only is it the basketball stuff, but it's the toughness. And it's that mean streak that, like, they carry to the NFL, especially in the dirty work in the trenches, man. Like, Pat Freiermuth ain't going to be bullied, like, when it comes to blocking, dude.
No. He finishes blocks really well. There's a lot of attributes. I just think, like, simply put, we talked about a lot of stuff, but, like, simply put, I just think Pat Freiermuth is, like, a really, really, really sound football player. Like, he just knows how to play football. As cliche as that sounds, like, it's just kind of what I got the same vibe from Devonta Smith. Like, he just makes football look easy. Like, not to that extent, obviously, but Pat Freiermuth just knows how to play football.
I just think that, like, his skill set – he's a well-rounded prospect. Like, I think that his skill set, whether it's the blocking, whether it's the receiving, I think that the receiving definitely stands out because we're going to kind of lean into areas that he can prove in. I definitely think that he's more skilled as a run blocker versus being a pass protector. I do see that some of the times that where he's in line and he's asked to pass protect, you do see, like, his ability to anchor and sustain those blocks for as long or as well as he does when he's run blocking. There is a difference there. But I mean, that's one of the few things where you're like, okay, where Not can we poke holes in the armor here, but like where are areas that he can improve on and take his game to the next level at the NFL level? And the other thing I want to throw out about Freiermuth, and for as much as people talk about like all these different comparisons and yes, he played these other sports, I think Freiermuth is a really, really good athlete. Do I think that he is an elite athlete? Like, we're talking about previous years where, like, guys like Mike Gesicki that came out of Penn State, like, broke the combine. Or guys like Gronk and other tight ends. Or, like, we're talking about Kyle Pitts. He is a really, really damn good athlete. But do I think that he has that elite athleticism where he's going to be a Travis Kelce at the next level? He's going to be that upper, upper echelon, like that top, top tier of tight end. No, I don't think that he's there, man. But does that, like, is that so much a knock on him? No. But we have to understand, like, his ceiling and his floor and what that kind of looks like as far as a prospect and what he could be for us in fantasy.
Yeah, like, that's the like, he's not exactly the most, agile player, but, like, when he gets the ball with it in his hands after the catch, like, he's running through people and stiff-arming in defenders. Like, he's not going to run around you or make you miss necessarily, but that's okay because there's not many tight ends that do that, right? It's, you know, Kelce, it's Darren Waller, it's, most likely going to be Kyle Pitts at the next level. Like, he's not that type of, you know, separator in terms of, like, before he catches the ball and then after he catches the ball, but he doesn't have to be because he can win other ways. He knows how to get open. He knows how to make plays by, you know, using his physicality and his strength, and that's fine. But I do agree, like, that's why he's not viewed as a first round tight end. You know, that's like, he didn't have this huge productive profile at Penn State because obviously, like, he missed some games and stuff like that. But, like, he also just doesn't have this huge, like, athletic profile. And that obviously matters when you're, you know, evaluating and scouting players and stuff like that for these NFL teams.
Well, and what I'm talking about, like, and we'll kind of lean into comps here and stuff and kind of where we could see him fall in the NFL draft. Do I look at him as a Travis Kelce type? No. But could he be and fall into the range of, like, somebody like a Zach Ertz? I think Zach Ertz and that type of usage is, like, my ceiling comp for him. And looking at where he could be in the NFL level, like, is he a better blocker than Zach Ertz? Yes. But could he be, like, a zone-busting tight end, a guy that's going to operate in the middle and in intermediate areas of the field? Can stretch the seam on occasion if you ask him to do that? Yes, he can do that. But what I'm talking about with Freiermuth here is I think that for him to hit his ceiling, he's going to have to walk into a scenario where he's going to be able to garner a ton of volume. I don't think that he's a guy that we're going to see just busting off long plays. I don't think that he's going to have that type of Kelce-type ceiling for fantasy. But could he be a Zach Ertz type at the tip-top of his ceiling outcomes, garner a lot of volume, being the 1A, 1B of an offense for the passing game? Yeah, I think that could happen. But where did you see him as far as a comp? And kind of kick us off here, where could he land in the NFL draft?
Yeah, and like he did have a lot of, you know, large plays down the field at college, but a lot of those from what I saw were like broken coverages too. Like he was just left wide open and then just kind of walked into the end zone. For me, he falls in like this Hunter Henry, Tyler Eifert kind of mold, right? Like Hunter Henry wasn't a blocker coming out of college, and he's still not really a blocker. He plays a lot in the slot, but like as a receiver, reminds me a little bit of Hunter Henry. I think Henry's more agile and a better separator, like if he played against, you know, tighter coverages, whereas Freiermuth, I don't know if he's going to be able to get off some of these closer, tighter coverages, but he's a much better run blocker and blocker overall than Hunter Henry. And then he kind of has that, you know, size profile to go up and get it like Tyler Eifert. So like, I think a good, like if he could become like a combination of like what Tyler Eifert was when he came out of Notre Dame and what Hunter Henry is now, like that would be a really good tight end of the NFL.
You're looking at like what, 600-700 yards receiving, maybe get some double digits in touchdowns. I mean, that's good for us in fantasy, man.
And it's
that's gonna put him in the top 10.
Yeah, it's tough with tight ends because like receiver, you could say this guy has the potential to be like the sixth or seventh best receiver in the NFL, and that's really good because there's a lot of good receivers in the NFL. If you're the sixth or seventh best tight end in the league, you're a good player, but we know the tight end position is very, very, very shallow. So but having said that, I think he has the upside to be like the seventh best tight end in the NFL, but I don't think he's got the upside to be a top three guy.
Agreed.
But I think there are some landing spots where he could be good in fantasy, especially as like a, you know, second round dynasty pick and rookie drafts, right? Like the spot I've been mocking and I'm hoping happens is 33, first pick of the second round, Jacksonville. Makes too much sense. They trade Josh Oliver away after he got hurt last year. Tyler Eifert's not there anymore. Just comp him to Tyler Eifert a little bit. They need someone at the tight end position. Jacksonville has plenty of picks. They also pick, I believe, 13th overall in the second round. So two avenues where they could go there. If it's not Jacksonville, the Jets could make sense. I don't know if they're going to go there in the second round because they have so many other needs. But yep. Like Chris Herndon is not it, y'all. Like he's not happening. Like they could use an upgrade there. Then the Bengals. Like I want Kyle Pitts to go to the Bengals really badly, but I don't think that's going to happen. But they have the sixth overall pick in the second round. This is the area where Pat Freiermuth is probably going to come off the board or close to it. So those three teams would make a lot of sense. Same with Carolina, they're right behind him. We talked about Kyle Pitts, how he fit really well in those two teams. These two teams had like the worst production from their tight end position last year. I mean, Ian Thomas, I mentioned, just ran routes to run routes. And then Drew Sample, CJ Uzama, these guys are not every down tight ends. They played because they had to. Uzama missed time, and then Sample was kind of an every down tight end by default. But like if they draft Pat Freiermuth, like he's playing over both these players because, you know, Uzama and Drew Sample can block. They're not the receivers that Pat Freiermuth is, but then Pat Freiermuth is also much better at blocking. So it's just be an obvious upgrade.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, I think that all three of those spots make a lot of sense. I have the Jets written down as well. And the reason I wrote down the Jets, and yes, I don't disagree with you about Chris Herndon. The other thing I think that looking at New York and what they could be for with San Francisco's pass game coordinator now running their offense as the OC, mm-hmm. I think that the offensive line is still not going to be great, but you look at Freiermuth as an extension of that, and I think they could use him in the run game a ton, and I think he's going to help them out there. So I could see the Jets a ton. Like, could they use him in that aspect as far as like a lead blocker and look at a similar type of like poor man's George Kittle usage or Kyle Juszczyk, things of that nature, and have him play some H-back? I think that that's possible. And if that's the case, I mean, look, there's not a lot of targets. I mean, you know, as far as like the Jets, man, I mean, he's going to be competing for targets against Corey Davis, Denzel Mims, and Jamison Crowder. That's not a difficult room to say. Like, I would not be surprised at the end of his rookie season if you were to tell me Pat Freiermuth walked out of his rookie season garnering 80 targets, 90 targets. I would not be surprised at all. So I think that would be a good landing spot for him. The other place that I want to bring up here is Tennessee. And you have, and I know everybody's on the Anthony Firkser train and everybody wants to make that a real thing and stuff like that. I'm not saying that that couldn't happen, but you're also talking about a Tennessee team that is going to run the ball. Again, Freiermuth is a great extension of that run game. And you're looking at a team that last season ran the most 12 personnel at 35% in the entire NFL. Todd Downing is the former tight ends coach, is now the OC. I'm not going to be surprised if they address the position in the NFL draft. And for everybody that wants to hype up Firkser, that love could come crashing down a little bit if Freiermuth is going to be there. We've seen Tennessee. They like to deploy multiple tight ends in every single game, man, whether it's the Mecole Pruitts or who else in there with that depth chart. So I think that they could easily address the tight end position, man. But could you see him landing in the second round to Tennessee?
Yeah, it's actually a good call. We're all so kind of like locked in on Tennessee going receiver, but like they obviously need to replace Jonnu Smith and Corey Davis, and like Tennessee has holes still on their team. They need to address their secondary a little bit, but like, they're obviously not drafting a running back. They don't need a quarterback. They address the D-line and free agency. Like, they can take a second-round tight end in this draft. And like, they could – maybe they just go, you know what? Let's fill these gap or these holes we had from free agency in the first two rounds and go Rashad Bateman and Pat Freiermuth. And all of a sudden, that'd be pretty fun. So I like the Tennessee call. Your comp was Zach Ertz, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm in between Hunter Henry and Zach Ertz, but Zach Ertz is my ceiling comp for him, yep.
Okay. I just think Freiermuth is a lot more physical, but like they're both not going to do much after the catch in terms of running past people, but Freiermuth will do more after the catch, like we talked about, just being more physical. But I could see like how they just kind of know how to get open to at the same time without being super, super, super athletic players.
Yeah, I mean, I think Freiermuth is up and down a far better blocker than Zach Ertz has ever been or will ever be going into the NFL. But as far as their abilities as a receiver, I see a lot of the same qualities, man. All right, everyone, that is our prospect profile for Pat Freiermuth. Again, stay tuned, man. We got a jam-packed week of prospect profiles ahead, as well as Michael Florio from the NFL Network is stopping by. We're going to run through our mock draft 3.0 later this week. Tune into that episode on Thursday. We're going to be 1 week away from the NFL draft. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.